Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
9 o'clock on the dot. Not really. 9:01. Stay focused, Esty. Tomorrow, Ben Maller on the show. Friday, Mitch Holthus. Is it his Friday or his Saturday? I don't know.
Well, Mitch lives at Chiefs Kingdom, so for Mitch, today is Thursday. Tomorrow is Friday, so he'll technically be joining us on his Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Have you watched the movie The Whale yet?
No.
You should. It's depressing, but it's very good.
Okay.
I know now why Brendan Fraser won Best Actor.
So good.
I don't like depressing movies.
Yeah, well, those are always the good ones.
Eh, they really are, aren't they?
Yeah. Simon Birch, depressing. Loved it.
Great Old movie. School wasn't depressing. I mean, it was because she left him and everything.
But it's not a great movie. It's
a
funny movie.
Yeah,
but
I love it. Yeah. See, I think you and I are completely different on that. Just give me a 90-minute comedy. That's all I need.
My buddy Nick only watches rom-coms or comedy. He won't watch like serious movies. And then he watches one and he's like, that was awesome. I'm like, yeah, like The Town, The Departed. Like, those movies are great.
I'm kind of like him. Like,
yeah,
I have no interest, but then once I get in and watch, I'm like, oh, okay. It's like, you know, a lot of times, like going out, if you will. Like, come on, let's get out. And then I go, oh, have a great time. Hey, everything's great. But, like, it's like getting there. Like, I don't know that I want to watch that movie. And then I do, I'm like, oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. I will bring this up because we did it earlier on our poll question, which is, quite simply, who do you want to see at left tackle? Do you want to see DJ Humphreys or do you want to see Joe Tooney? The votes have been put in. We are now at, where are we at here? Let's scroll up. No, 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 no. 297 votes.
No, no, no.
62% of them say Joe Tooney.
I'm surprised it's that low.
Yeah. I mean, it's gone down. It was 67%, but now it is 62% Joe Tooney to start at left tackle over DJ Humphreys.
Mac, back me up on this, or maybe not. Dusty, maybe not. Aren't you surprised it wasn't higher? Like, I thought it would be 80% for Joe Tooney.
Me too.
I really did.
Me too.
What do you think the holdout is for people who are clicking on DJ Humphreys?
There's 354 votes now. Okay. 60% say Tooney. 39.8 say DJ.
Wow. Okay, so it continues to go down. Is that the blind faith that we all should have in Andy Reid, say that if Andy says it must be good? Or is that football nerd kind of taking over? Or like get the 40% that voted for DJ Humphreys, who basically hasn't played in a year, and you want to put him out there against, you know, Will Anderson Jr., Danielle Hunter, in his basically his first game in a year in 20-degree weather. The more I talk about it, the more it makes more sense for Joe Tooney for me. And again, I could be completely wrong. Andy is better at this than me. But if they start DJ Humphreys and it goes bad, it will go down as Andy's biggest blunder in Kansas City. And as the text line pointed out to start the show in the 6 o'clock hour, which is beautiful, I love this. This is Gerbach Gannon all over again. And me as a history buff, you got to study history so you don't repeat history. We've been through this in Kansas City before, where you had a guy that was playing good, and then the playoffs get here, you're like, oh, we're going to go back to this guy, And we know how that worked out for the Chiefs.
So there are some comments on the Twitter poll.
Okay.
This is from Britt Zank. I want Humphreys to start the game. Our best offensive line being at least serviceable at left tackle and Tooney at guard. Now, if he's getting worked in the early drives, then make the move and slide Tooney out.
How long do you wait, though? I mean, what if the first play of the game, Mahomes just gets blown up?
Continue the name shout-outs. This is from Tristan Hazen. Super Bowl, they took right tackle Wiley, who was solid, and put him at left tackle. Then there was problems at two spots instead of one. Tooney needs to be where he's a superstar. If Humphreys can give you average play, this team will be unstoppable. If he can't, then you make the switch.
But we have seen games already this season mm-hmm. with this lineup in there. This isn't a blind test, right? We have games against the Chargers, the Browns, the Houston Texans, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's a month. That's a quarter of the season, basically, mm-hmm. where we've played this offensive alignment up front, right? With Caliendo at guard and Joe Tooney at tackle.
Your offense also was better. You outscored your opponents, I think, 77 to 34, 35, whatever it was.
And the sack numbers have gone down?
One. Houston Texans.
I mean,
and that wasn't from the interior. That was not from Joe Tooney's side.
No.
So,
I think that was Trey, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
But Trey and Creed and Tooney have not given up a sack this year.
Right. Well, I think.
Oh, so it was Caliendo.
Okay.
Maybe in Caliendo. I just know it wasn't from Tooney's side. I know it was an interior sack, that one sack.
But I told you guys this yesterday. What the F, man? Yeah. Why are we having this conversation?
I just do the whole thing of make it make sense. Right. And I just, like you said earlier, we didn't question, you know, we questioned Vegas sometimes with lines, right? Mm-hmm. Like Buffalo's a 1.5 underdog at home against the Ravens.
Ravens are winning the game.
Right. Andy Reid says what Andy Reid wants, and Andy Reid does what Andy Reid does.
Right.
This is from Mike Bogan. I'm fully aware that most people do not understand the help Tooney has gotten that Andy refused to give other tackles this year. The answer should be DJ and give him help. Tooney is a massive upgrade over Caliendo, and Autry is playing this game.
Yes, speaking about the Nico Autry, their D-tackle for the Texans. Very good player.
From JB, I think it's got to be Humphreys with the option to sit him and slide Tooney out if there's an injury or he is significantly underperforming. From back-to-back Super Bowl champion Dick Thunderclap. I don't know if you can say that on the air, but that's his name. Humphreys
is that Italian?
I think so. Humphreys is the correct strategic move. And then this is from Matt Scott. If you pick DJ, you obviously didn't watch him get brined relentlessly against both Denver and the Chargers.
I think, Bob, what it is, I think people, we talk about this in sport, it's the potential, right? It's that unknown. You're always going to choose the unknown. And even though mm-hmm. DJ is somewhat a known entity, we have seen him play and play poorly. It's still just like, oh, well, he was an all-pro. He was a pro bowler. This is, on paper, the best solution, but we're done with that. The ramp-up's over. I don't want the, oh, if he has a bad drive.
Yeah, like, this isn't week 7.
Yeah, I'm done with that.
The text line says, DJ Humphreys is better at his position than Caliendo is at his. Because that's what I was asking you guys. Is that what the move's going to be? Is that it's like, we're going to throw DJ Humphreys out there. And if he starts to struggle, which is what it seems the tweets that I just read and the text line that's been all day, is like, let him be the left tackle, let Tooney be the guard. And if it gets bad, then he gets pulled and you go back to what you know is a fixable situation. My argument is they scored 77 points and he was sacked one time in 3 games and 11 days, and it's the damn playoffs.
My comment is, why are we having this conversation? I feel like this is overanalyzation by paralysis or whatever they say. Mm-hmm. Like, and I talked to somebody in the organization yesterday. I said, is this real? And the response back was conversations daily.
I think.
I mean, so obviously they're thinking about it inside there. Andy's addressed it and all. And I understand that, but I do believe that if this goes wrong and DJ Humphreys starts, this will be Andy's biggest blunder in Kansas City. Mm. Not that there's been a lot, but I mean, there really hasn't been any blunder since that 28-point, you know, loss to the, or blowing that 28-point lead against the Colts in the playoffs a decade ago.
Micah in Denver is best friends with Mac. He says, yo, Dusty and Bob, Texans defensive tackle, Autry is a beast and will destroy Caliendo. Keep Tooney in at left guard.
I don't know about destroy.
What do you think Will Anderson Jr. is going to do to DJ Humphreys?
It's like pick your poison almost, right?
Yes.
I mean, Joe Tooney was good against Myles Garrett. Now, there was pressure,
but
Mahomes wasn't hit.
No.
And
I need to keep my guy safe back
isn't
there,
that,
right?
Isn't that like 1A, 1B, him and TJ Watt, number one DNs in the league.
I mean, you can counteract an interior defensive lineman by just going to the other side or running outside. Like,
I'll tell you this, if TJ Humphries plays left guard or left tackle, I'm taking Mahomes over rushing yards.
Because he's going to be squirreling out of the pocket and then moving up. Yeah, I like that.
And you're going to see jet sweeps, so the Xavier Worthy rushing yards, I'm taking that as well.
Up, up, yep.
Somebody says, Tooney is an all-pro guard, Humphries is Pro Bowl left tackle.
Was.
He was, yes.
He was. But he hasn't played in a year.
Somebody says Patrick Mahomes gets to make the final call.
Now, I don't hate that.
What do you think, Mac? You say no? Because somebody also said, if Patrick Mahomes trusts Andy Reid, then I trust Andy Reid, and I'll just sit back and watch. I agree with that take. That's a good text. But, like, this is the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, it's not time to get cute,
That's like, the thing. Again, it's not week 7.
Yeah. It's hell, exactly.
It's not week 15.
Right. Like, it's divisional round. Yeah, right. These are the best of the best of the best, sir, men in black. And, like, this is where you just stick with it. Like, just go into the playoffs with what you know. Now, again, if I know nothing about coaching the NFL. Hell, I don't know anything about coaching. But if they've seen something for the last week while we've all been on a bye and waiting,
right.
And they're like, man, this guy's going up against Chris Jones. We move Chris Jones over to the edge spot to see what Humphries can do, and he looks good.
Right.
And then we trust.
Right.
So, I don't know.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, you got to trust Andy Reid in this, but you also can say, but. Like, it's okay to question Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, right? As great as they've been, nobody's perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those where I think we've been sitting around for a while. We've had way too many cups of coffee, way too many conversations with each other. It's game time. It's just don't overthink in life.
It's today.
Like, they always tell you to work smarter, not harder.
They also tell you to do the say it out loud test.
And again, yeah, the say it out loud test is big for me. And I feel like right now, the say it out loud test, the work harder or work smarter, not harder type thing, they're missing out on all of that. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. And that's okay. It doesn't have to make sense to us, right? If they deem this is the best thing possible, by all means, go with it. But if it backfires, then you're opening yourself up to major criticism.
Who do you want to see at left tackle?
Oh, Joe Tooney.
Who do you want to see at left tackle?
Tooney.
Okay.
I didn't even think it was a conversation, Dusty.
Apparently it is.
I mean,
I don't know, man.
It's today.
Yeah. I remember. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock.
Locked, cocked, and ready to rock.
Or this one.
If worms had machine guns, then birds wouldn't be scared of them.
No doubt. That is the greatest Harbaugh line. You never heard that before? You never heard of that one? That's my favorite.
If worms had machine guns, then birds wouldn't be scared of them.
Like, you think that's AI?
That's not AI.
Nah, dog. That's Jim Harbaugh.
That's not AI?
No.
That's not like Andy Reid calling, you know, Mike McCarthy a pork chop?
No. That wasn't Andy Reid. That was Jerry Jones.
Or not Andy Reid. Jerry Jones. I thought Andy Reid.
One of the funniest AI clips I've ever seen.
Can we play that?
There's too many editing.
There's got to be an edited version that we can find of that play.
We wouldn't hear from Mac the rest of the show. It'd take too much time.
Oh, my God.
Just go watch it. It's everywhere.
I fired him because he looks like a pork chop with that Perkins menu.
So funny. Dusty, make this a radio appropriate for me. That's tough. Asking the wrong guy. Anyone that thinks DJ should start is a blank moron. Quit overthinking this.
Yeah, I
don't know, dude. I didn't think this was going to be the lead today, and by God, it's led everything we've done today. And it's going to be on Cody and Gold. It's going to be on The Drive. Hell, it's going to be on After Hours tonight with Mac and Drew.
Yeah,
I mean, it's everywhere.
Do you think it'll be on NFL Network, or are they still talking about the Cowboys?
They'll wait till the show's over to steal it. Coming up on the other side, we'll go back to our other topic of Travis Kelce, plus the playoff change. And don't forget, divisional round coverage is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, and it is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Back at it on a Wednesday here on Fesco and Dusty.
Thursday if you're at Arrowhead Stadium, though.
That's right. Somebody goes, oh, my God, thank you very much for the Jerry Jones AI press conference. That was hilarious. Told you.
Oh, God, it's great.
My buddy Mike, who's a Dallas fan, said it to me. He goes, I normally don't like stuff like this, but, man, I'm rolling on the ground. I was like, dude, it's nuts.
Oh, it's so good. Like, that's where AI can get in trouble. That's why I'm not an AI guy, because they can take anybody's voice and make it sound like they say something. And
yeah. What'd you say? Everybody's bored, has nothing to talk about on Good Morning Football. They literally have a topic right now. What's your most underrated divisional round game
of all time?
That's what it says.
Who's thinking about that?
I was going to say, I don't remember a lot.
Yeah, what?
Division? What's your favorite divisional round
underrated
game of any playoff?
Well, it's underrated. It's even worse.
Oh, it's even worse. Yeah,
because I was at 13 seconds, but that's not underrated.
What, your most underrated divisional playoff game ever? Who the hell knows?
I don't know.
Chiefs Texans.
85 Giants Bears at Soldier Field. Sean Landetta missed the. I don't know. Like
Chiefs Jags. It's fun.
It was a game. You were there, probably, there, right? Yes. So that's why you think it's great.
It was there.
It wasn't a slam dunk either.
No, it was not.
Chad Henne drive was fun.
Was Cleveland the divisional round?
Yeah.
That was a good one. That's a good underrated. One. The Alex Smith drive, but with Chad Henne.
And what did they come up with? I'm sure some cowboy game or something from the 90s.
2017 Falcons-Eagles was Kyle Brandt. I don't remember.
I have no idea what that was
sweet.
About.
Yeah.
Who was the quarterback? Foles?
For the Eagles was Foles, but for the Falcons would have been Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
You talk about a guy who, by the way, I hate to do this, but I'm going to. That CBS TV pregame show I watched for the first time this weekend, that sucks.
Fox is better. It's like Strahan, Johnson, Gronk.
The guy that they have as their insider on CBS is Ron Burgundy. He just reads the teleprompter, and it is brutal. And Matt Ryan isn't very good.
No, he's not.
I mean,
he's
I don't know really if you guys. I don't consume pregame shows normally because they're terrible.
They're awful.
I mean, this thing on CBS was hot garbage, man.
Oh.
Well, you have too many people on the show. You have six dudes sitting around a desk. They each get to talk for 30 seconds. It's terrible.
It's not even that good. Like the I'm talking more about the insider guy. Like their Schefter stinks.
Yeah, what Glazer's on Fox, right?
Yeah, he's fantastic.
He's the best.
Because he doesn't do it all the time. That's the best thing about Jay Glazer. When he speaks, you listen.
Yeah, and he's still super
credible. Right, right. When he speaks, you listen. It's like, you're just beating me over the head, Ian Rappaport and, you know, the other guy, Schefter. Jay Glazer goes, he drops a Glazer bomb, right? Like you had the Woj bombs back in the day.
I don't know if I ever want to know what a Glazer bomb is. That sounds gross.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't like that.
Let's do something
Glazer bomb.
Yeah, that's what it is. And he, you know, he does his thing, makes the announcement, walks away, and that's it. Like, that's why I like Jay Glazer the most, because it's not in your face constantly with, I was the first to report that the Jags signed 13 players to their practice squad. Who cares?
Now they're doing the book you suggest to any team or player is.
Okay.
Charlotte's Web.
Great restaurant in New Jersey, yeah.
That's really a place called Charlotte's Web, New Jersey.
Yeah, it's an Italian restaurant, my parents' favorite joint.
I need to go to New Jersey. From the text line about the Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey. Not Creed Humphrey, DJ Humphrey. You guys say don't overthink it, but all you guys do are overthinking it. Just because he hasn't played it a year doesn't mean he hasn't been practicing. And when does Andy ever get cute?
Thank you. My friend Jim texts me. He goes, 110% Tooney. Pro Football Focus gave Humphreys a rating of 10 for pass blocking against the Bronco game. A 10.
From the text line, CDOT was told yesterday by Patrick Mahomes he trusts Andy with his life. From the 913, come on, goobers. You can help you can help tackle, not guard. Pressure up the middle is more dangerous.
Then why does the left tackle get paid the most?
Because they go up against the defensive end.
No, it's not the most dangerous up the middle. If that was the case, then the setters and guards would be cashing the checks.
From the 785, Jerry Jones' AI press conference has me crying. Yep.
If you're fired him because he's a pork chop that read a Perkins menu.
Somebody says, lay off CBS. They just lost Gumbel.
So?
They didn't talk about Gumbel.
Nothing to do with Gumbel. It stinks. They're not good. It's embarrassing.
I don't really watch pregame football shows.
That's what I'm saying. I had it on because it was, you know.
Because the Chiefs weren't playing.
Yeah, right. And
normally I just kind of like.
I usually turn the TV on if I'm at home watching at 12:02 at kickoff.
So like that time is normally when I go to the store and like Quick Trip and get all my stuff.
Getting all your stuff
done. 11:15, 11:45. And then I come home and it's like, just put on the countdown on Red Zone.
That's usually what I do. But there's no Red Zone. It was the playoffs. So I'm like, all right, let me see what this is about. Oh, my God. I mean, that's network television, man. No wonder nobody watches it anymore. It's terrible.
Mm. Boy, that guy for the Eagles fan is having a bad day. He's all over the internet now.
Good. I hope he has the worst day ever. He deserves it. He's a jerk.
Yeah, for sure.
You don't do that kind of stuff. Like, you deserve everything that you get, man. Everything that you get, you deserve.
You know who deserves something today? Dennis Gates gets a little bit of a nice little round of applause. Denny Gates. He went to Florida last night and won with the Mizzou Tigers. That's a big win. Sorry, it was sports. And yeah. It was something that was on TV. They played at 8 o'clock, watched the entire game. They beat Florida. Good game. Shout out there. I know that'll be a topic on the drive today. It should be one, too. Completely turn that team around. But we can talk about college basketball when March gets here, because that's when it's relevant. Sorry, it is what it is. Somebody's football team plays till February every year. But Barber gave us a sort of playoff change picture. I'm kind of with Mac on this one. I don't necessarily love it. I don't hate it. I think it's a good topic. But we were talking about that the other day. Like, how do you, change the playoff format? And he sent us a big old rundown in our text group the other day about how he would do it.
And it's basically you seed the teams 1 through 14, as he has right now, but you get rid of AFC and NFC. And you seed them 1 through 14, and you give the first two teams byes. He would have the Lions as the 1 seed, the Chiefs as the 2 seed, both getting byes in the first round of the playoffs, and then had his matchups of this: the 14-seeded Broncos visiting the 3-seeded Eagles, the 13-seeded Rams at the 4-seed Vikings, the 12-seeded Steelers at the 5-seed Bills, the 11-seed Bucks at the 6-seed Commanders, the 10-seed Texans at the 7-seeded Ravens, and the 9-seeded Packers at the 8-seeded Chargers. Now, a couple matchups are the same, but everybody wants to change everything all the time in sports, it seems like, right? Oh, we got to get better at this. We got to do that. We got to do this. We got to do that. And they never give examples of what they would do to change. Barber laid this whole thing out of how he would change it, and I don't really hate it. It goes back to what your friend said yesterday, Dusty, about the 2-seed in the AFC playing the 7-seed in the NFC and vice versa, and doing the playoffs that way, which I don't mind either. I'm all for trying new things and seeing if it works and trying to create the best matchups possible. Because what do we say every year when we get to the Super Bowl? Oh, the Bills-Chiefs was the real Super Bowl this year, right? And that's what we seemingly say every year. And then you get to the Super Bowl and it's like, okay, it's an afterthought compared to some of these AFC championship games that we've seen over the last few years. Why not try to create the best matchups in the playoffs, regardless of AFC, NFC, and hopefully it leads to the two best teams, even if they are in the same conference, playing for that Super Bowl championship?
Yeah, look, I think it was, like, I am with Mac on this opinion. I think the playoff system was fine. Two byes, six, whatever.
I don't disagree with that, right? But we're not going back.
No, you always go forward. But I don't know. There's just... I also agree with Mac as well when he says this year might have been an anomaly with teams. But again, if that is the case, like, do we think the NFL's talent is going to get better? More teams are going to consistently be that good. But then you look at the teams this year, the bottom 10 teams, Bob's bottom feeders, absolutely terrible. It's very much divided like it always is. Yes, there was an anomaly this year in Minnesota being 14-3 or whatever it was. But again, like, there was the teams that are left in the playoffs right now. Then there's like a middle gap. Right, of like Tampa, I guess the Rams aren't, their record doesn't indicate what they really are, I don't think.
Washington's probably in that middle gap. Yeah. You know, all the teams that didn't win the division.
There's like 12 that are just bad, bad.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
But and then you have the numbers to back up, like, non-expansion, right? Like, I know we're going to 16. I just know we are. It's going to happen, right? But since 2020, when they switched over to this format, the 7 seeds are 1-9 in the wild card round.
The only win was Green Bay last year, you said, right?
That's right. Green Bay over Dallas is the only 7 seed to win a game. They beat the 2-seeded Dallas Cowboys last year. And they're 1-10 overall in the playoffs. So they went on the next week and lost.
Mm.
That doesn't scream to me expansion. But maybe this does. The average margin of victory for the 2-seed over the 7-seed is almost 13 points. They're almost winning by 2 touchdowns in the playoffs. So you want to have an 8th team in each when the numbers are showing right now that these are not competitive games It's like the 16 beating the one in college basketball. Just doesn't happen all that often. Up until 4 years ago, it never happened, right?
Yeah.
So the numbers are out there showing you that the worst team in the playoffs just isn't competitive.
Mac, if you could fix something, which you're anti, what would you fix?
I'd go back to six teams and a 16-game schedule, but obviously I know that's not what's going to happen. The NFL wants more money, but yeah, I mean, at least...
The NFL season will be officially ending President's Day weekend.
Yes, 100%. They'll keep pushing it back. And I'm okay with extra games. I just hate the extra playoff teams. I mean, it just goes with, you know, just participation trophy. Everyone gets a chance, whole thing. I mean, they're not... You just went through it. There just aren't 16 great teams. There aren't 10 great teams. We're just getting more bad games, man. I mean, this year, I mean, do you want Seattle in the playoffs on the NFC side? Because that's who you'd get.
Mm. Yeah.
The Bengals, a rare year that you'd actually get a competent eighth seed.
Are they, though?
I think they're better than Denver.
If you're a competent team, you don't, you know, poop the bed in September and lose to New England. So I would rather go to six teams in the playoffs.
Yes.
I'd expand the regular season to 18 games.
I'm
that's
fine. With
fine.
That.
Mm-hmm. It's going that way. But reduce the playoff teams.
And keep divisions. I know the division thing, I'm more of like that's an anomaly, and I think divisions are extremely important because look at the AFC South. Like, those fans care about football for 16 weeks because of that division. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have to care about, like, what would they be rooting for if there wasn't the AFC South? Like, they're all bad. They get to root against each other and battle against each other to get to somewhere.
To get and have an opportunity.
To have an opportunity.
But if you're not that good, though, I mean, why should you have an opportunity in the playoffs?
Well, shoot, the AFC South in the divisional round. The Jacksonville was in the divisional round a couple years ago against us, gave us a little bit of a run for our money.
Yeah,
so,
that's
I mean,
fair.
There's a chance, you know what I mean? Put them in the dance.
So you like the divisions.
I'm big on the divisions.
I would have no problem, like we talked about on Monday, getting rid of the divisions.
Yeah.
Keeping one rival opponent that you play home and home. And then having a round robin of a schedule. I think that would be kind of cool, too. But they're always looking for ways to reinvent themselves. Go to an 18-game schedule. Go to 12 playoff teams. Give the first two teams buys. I know it's going to cost you money in the postseason, but it's not been a great product with that seven seed so far.
From the 850, the NBA tossed divisions, and it sucks.
Yeah. Yes.
Somebody
That's
says,
a great point.
And then from the 913, someone says, I feel like the divisions and conferences are moot. All the scheduling buses to close opponents anymore, like we were in the NFL, was founded. Hell, we're playing New England half the year now. Time to evolve.
Well, and that's why the divisions were created, because of travel back in the day. And that's why when people with, you know, college sports right now, you're going to go from USC to, yeah, you jump on a plane. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, and, like the Seahawks were in the West.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm that old, at least.
Yeah, I mean, hell, the Cardinals were in the East forever. So, like, we've done this before, where we
Seattle, Kansas City,
right? Arizona to New York for the East. And now I know they started in Chicago and St. Louis, and it was Easterner,
right.
But still, I mean, like, I don't know. I'm just I think the divisions kind of have run their course. It's just, you know, let's come up with the best matchups we possibly can.
I just like, you know, I like. Reseeding. I don't know about adding playoff teams, but I think that they could reseed because they do it in college basketball. I know that you don't believe it, but they do it in college basketball because KU will be a one or a two seed this year, and everyone will be like, well, they have seven losses, and this team that's 27-2 will be a seven seed because they play in the Big Sky.
That's right.
Now, I'm just, you know, regurgitating old conferences, but like, that's what it'll be. It'll be like, how are they a seven seed? It's like, who did they play? Right? Like,
I'll tell you what, the Montana Grizzlies got screwed. Sir, you've never seen the Montana Grizzlies play a day in your life.
And then it's up to them to be like the George Masons or those type of teams.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we were scrutinized, but here we are. So
go
cool.
Win. And if you go win, great, man. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
I mean, but the NCAA football championship is the eighth seed versus the seventh seed.
Mm-hmm.
Make that make sense.
Those are probably your two best teams.
And they're the eight and the seventh
right.
seed playing in the national championship.
That's right. Yeah.
What if we keep divisions, but trading teams to different divisions every couple of years?
How would you do
that's
that?
That's too much chaos.
But, you know, I love the idea. I you've got me hooked, okay? I'm in on this. But how would you do, like, who would be in charge of the trades? Like, is the division winner the one who's going to say, we're trading, like, if you're the Chiefs, you would probably want to trade the Chargers right now because they're maybe the second best team in the division. Do you trade them to the AFC East for the Jets? Like, how does that go down? I love the idea of it. I think it's fun. But give me more. Give me more of that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Reid, we're going to trade the Chargers.
So this text is making me think about this Minnesota Rams game, and I haven't stopped thinking about it since I watched it on Monday night, but it says, Chiefs beat the Texans by 20 last time they played it in the divisional game. The Vikings showed they were a fraud 14-win team. How much of it is that Minnesota wasn't that good, or how much of it is that maybe the Rams aren't what their record says they were?
Right? It is both.
The Rams are better than I think people... Now, watch, they'll go get blown out this weekend by Philadelphia. But here's the thing. I think the Rams and the Lions will play in the NFC Championship game. Like, the Rams are better than people think, man.
Yes,
like,
they are. It's,
yes, Minnesota, you know, crapped the bed. Darnold was bad. KOC got out-coached. Sorry, you got out-coached by the second-best coach in football. And it's like, we only generate, like, that Minnesota was terrible. Maybe the Rams are good.
Rams are good.
But it's easier, Dusty, to say this team sucks as opposed to saying, and this was something I learned from Vermeil, because we had had this conversation 20 years ago, 25 years ago now, and he goes, there's 11 other guys that are paid to kick your ass. Like, we don't factor in the opposition. We always view it from one side. And it's easy to say, oh, my God, Sam Darnold was bad. But why was Sam Darnold bad? Because the Rams made him bad. They had 9 sacks. Yes, he could have avoided some of them.
7 of them.
But they still got to him. They still shut him down. They still played their ass off. Like, we forget to give credit to the other side because it's just easy. It's low-hanging fruit to say Sam Darnold sucks, he did.
Washington went 12-5 and played a road game in Tampa Bay, and they had to go up against Philadelphia all year. And they went 12-5 with a rookie quarterback, had to play a road game. Mm-hmm. Minnesota went 14-3, had to play a road game. That's where I don't think it makes sense. Like, that's what they need to change. And I've been on this before when they were letting, like, 8-9 teams win the NFC West and get a home game. Like, remember those years when, like, Seattle was, like, 8-8 or whatever it was?
Carolina, maybe?
I think they were one of them.
I think it was Seattle was 7-9, and I think New Orleans was 7-9. New Orleans went up to Seattle and won that game is what it was.
It's just, that to me is where it needs to change. Not necessarily, like, adding teams, adding buys, doing stuff like that. To me, it needs to change with, like, look at the numbers and tell the say it out loud test. Minnesota 14-3. Yep, you got to go on the road. It's like, okay. Because then people are like, well, then win the games you're supposed to win. They won 14. Yeah, they lost 2 games. They lost to the Rams and the Lions. They lost 3 games.
They lost to the Rams and Lions. That was it this year, right?
Yes.
But I also think now, though, we need to adjust the way that we view the NFL because that 17th game is a huge difference maker.
When
in
they
the
say
way
this system, everybody would stop resting.
You know, it's a huge difference maker, though, the way that we view games now, because we're still all, and rightfully so, viewing games through a 16-game lens, where the Kansas City Chiefs are 14-1, and they still got to go win another game to get a bye. Had this been a 16-game season, that would have been, you know, grandfathered in October.
You know what they should do? And maybe this is just a bad idea. The 3 worst teams in the AFC and the NFC, like in soccer, get relegated to the other division.
No, I've been saying relegation in baseball for years.
Like, if you're one of the 3 worst teams in the NFC and you're one of the 3 worst teams in the AFC, you're now in different conferences.
Oh, swap conferences.
Yeah.
I don't hate that either. I'm all for that.
Now, I guess that could make sense because you have to have an even number. Because, like, what if, like, 2 of the worst teams in the AFC are from the AFC East? And they lose 2 teams, but then I don't know how you can make...
Well, and then you just backfill.
Well, you run into the same problem, though, of what if that third worst team, the NFC, won 7 games,
right?
And the AFC's like, cool, their win totals don't even add up to 7. You're like, great, we still have to switch.
Yeah, nah, I don't care about that. That doesn't bother me. I'd like that idea, though. Yeah, you got to switch conferences this year.
Will there ever be a second league in the NFL where, like, you get moved up to the NFL?
That's called college football. Will there ever be a second league? Why would the NFL ever spend more money on things they don't need to spend money on? They got this free minor league system running around wild. Now they're paying those guys in the minor league system. Like, the NFL sit back and, idiots.
Seattle was 7-9 in 2010 and beat the Saints at home in a wild card and beast mode run.
They beat the Saints? I thought the Saints went up there and got a win.
When Marshawn Lynch was born.
Okay.
For Seattle. That's what Mike in Denver said. So
I'm probably wrong. That's fine.
Yeah, Seattle won a playoff game the year they were under 500.
All right, they did win that game. All right.
I did say this earlier, but this was last week, and somebody says it on the text line. What if winning your division only guaranteed you a spot in the playoffs, but not your ranking in the playoffs?
That's fine. I'm good with that, too.
Like, you win your division? Sweet. You're in the playoffs. It's an automatic lock. doesn't mean you get a home game.
Yeah.
You win your division at, you know, no, 10-7 and somebody else is like the Minnesota Vikings for it. Because what if that game was played and the Skull chant was going on? Do you think the Rams still win? Probably, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Because, I mean, Darnold lost in Detroit and on the road in L.A.
In Glendale, but yeah, on the road.
Yeah.
They have more Vikings fans there than LA Rams fans.
Well, I mean, also, come on. Also,
I mean, that's the point.
Yeah.
It's your point, though.
Yeah. Could you, would you change this rule that if there is like a natural disaster or some sort of disaster at that team's home, you go to the opposing team's home?
I like the
neutral
site.
So instead of going to Arizona, you go to Minnesota?
Yeah, I like the neutral site thing because at the end of the day, you earned that home field advantage. And if something like that happens, it's out of your control to then give that other team. Nah, I'm out on that. But I do like the reseeding. I do like the playoff or the division win gets you in, but it doesn't guarantee you a home game. And then you just seed based on winning percentage.
The NFL already had a second system. It was called NFL Europe. Fair point. Or the Canadian Football League. Division round coverage brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. Don't forget, Friday at 11:30, Carrington and Rob will be handing out more t-shirts for the playoffs brought to you by our friends at DM Law. You know Mike has got this. Coming up on the other side, our fantasy punishment segment. What say you, or do you have a punishment for your fantasy league? Bob, Mac, Dusty, 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 965, Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
Let me tell you something here, Mac. You want some stats? I'll give you some stats. I'm sure everybody's seen these stats. They're Mahomes in the divisional round. Mahomes in the divisional round is undefeated. He's 6-0. He's thrown for 1,813 yards. He has a passer rating of 115.8. 16 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and a 70.4 completion percentage. How you done?
He does a nice job in the playoffs.
How many yards did you say?
1,000. Yeah, basically it's like 18-something.
Wow.
6 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. 6-0.
It's over 5,000 yards for a full season.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So you taking Houston?
When is Vegas going to take that game off the board?
They actually just moved it up. It's now 8.5. Jeez.
Nobody's betting Houston, are they?
No, they're trying to get people to bet.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Nobody's betting Houston. That's a big swing right there. One whole point.
Ugh. I wonder if that Buffalo line changed. I check that daily just to see if I'm missing anything.
I think it's still Baltimore.
Baltimore's still the favorite in that one?
Yeah, I assume so. Flipped.
Yeah, Kansas City 8.5, over under 41.5. Lions are 9.5 point favorites against Washington. The Rams are 6-point dogs against Philly. Love that. And yeah, Buffalo's still 1.5 underdog at home.
That's a big dog for L.A.
It's huge.
Plus they're traveling six across the country and all on Saturday. Wait, no, they're playing Sunday.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Sunday at 2 o'clock.
I don't even know if they're using their practice facility right now because of the air quality. So I don't know when they're going to choose to travel.
Did they just go? I mean, I hate to say it, but the smart thing would have been gone right from just Phoenix to Philly. Yes.
I agree.
Yeah. Or just
find a high school and, you know.
Or just stay in Philly or stay in
Arizona.
Phoenix.
Oh, yeah. Leave. You could do that, too. Yeah.
No one's using that facility.
Their families are already there. Yeah.
Yeah, that is true.
Why leave
but
there?
I'm sure a lot of these guys want to go home and check on the family members, dogs, everything that you know, stayed behind and whatnot. So.
All right. You did some deep diving on some fantasy punishment.
What'd
you find?
I saw this fantasy punishment from somebody that they had to stay in Waffle House for 24 hours. We've seen these before, right? And each waffle you ate reduces the amount of time by an hour of how long you have to sit in Waffle House. So he went in at like 6:21 a.m., right? Mm-hmm. So
it's too late.
Is it?
Yeah, you got to get there like 4.
4 a.m.?
Yeah.
Do you think, what's about, it's 24 either way,
yeah,
right?
True.
How many waffles, though, do you think you could eat? Because if you eat 4 waffles, that gets you out like 2 a.m. Whoop-de-doo, right?
Yeah.
I feel like 12's the number to make it worth your while of sitting there and eating all those waffles. Could you eat a waffle an hour for 12 hours to get out at 6 o'clock at night? That seems like a lot, but I feel like I could do that.
Because some people tell you the strategy is to eat as many as you can at first
and
then rest. But then, like, you get to that point where you're just like, I can't look at food.
So what do? Eat one break.
I think the strategy you'd have to like eat them in different variations. Like one, you would put like your eggs over it.
No, see, I'm not putting anything else other than syrup and butter.
Okay.
Other than that, yes. But I'm not adding eggs. I'm not adding anything else on that.
That's risky, Dusty.
Yeah. See, if you did hash browns instead of waffles, I'd be out of there by 6 a.m.
Oh, yeah. Hash browns from Waffle House? Oh.
The best.
Butter.
There's none better in the game. Other than maybe the McDonald's one.
That thing is really dangerously good.
You can buy those at the store.
It's never the same, though.
No, but it's close. It's close. Yeah, yellow box, frozen aisle, Hy-Vee.
So right. I think I could probably do 12 hours.
I think I could do, if we're being honest, I think I'd do 8 to 10 waffles.
Okay.
Yeah, that seems more realistic for me.
I think I would force myself to get the hell out of there.
Because what if you puke? Does it matter?
Because if I
eat like 7 waffles, I just go to the bathroom and, you know, I almost said the worst thing in the world. I would put a finger down my throat and then I would puke and then I would come back and be like, all right.
I don't think you can puke and rally.
Can you take narcotics?
Yeah, I don't. You can do whatever you want. Okay. Yeah, at that point.
Well, if that's the case, go on and give me 2 cents. You know, I mean, it's like whatever. I would just And if I knew I was doing it, I'd go on an empty stomach and I would drink water for like two straight days.
Yeah, you know you're doing it. You know,
because like Adam Richman, the guy who used to do Man vs. Food,
he almost died.
Yeah, he did because of what he did.
Yeah,
and he would do it in a week. So he would do the restaurants like Monday and Wednesday. Tuesday, he would rest, and then Thursday and Friday, he would only eat water and fast. No food, just water, drink water, water, water.
That's
so
stupid.
That he'd go to the challenges with an empty stomach. Yeah. And then he almost died of a heart attack.
Yeah, that's just too unhealthy to do that kind of lifestyle. That's why he's not on the show anymore.
What would be the
number one opportunity?
I know what yours is, and it almost made me vomit.
Really?
Because I don't know if I could eat that many.
Oh, see, like the number one option to get you out the fastest for me, I feel like the Taco Bell bean burrito would be it for me.
I know, dude. Bean burritos. Oh,
15 of
those. I love it. No onions.
They're fantastic. They're easy to eat. You know?
Pizza rolls.
That's not a fast food restaurant,
Does Quick Trip count?
No.
Taquitos, I'd say.
Oh, yeah, taquitos.
Well, then I'd do chicken nuggets from McDonald's. I'll eat 100 of those things and be out of there in 10 minutes.
Okay.
Chicken nuggets is a good one.
Just think about like what fast food you think you could easily
Chick-fil-A nuggets.
Like what if you had to do a 6-piece?
A 6 isn't a lot though.
Like every time you had a 6-piece, you got an hour taken off.
I'd eat 20 nuggets in one setting for about 5 minutes. I'd smash them all. And then I could literally eat 50 nuggets in a large fry in college.
Oh, it's
no but idea. I was a whale.
Yeah, so was I. I mean, that was a start.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
All right, that's the appetizer.
And for my meal.
Yeah, pizza shuttle. You know, like, so. What would have to, like, is the McNugget coming a 9-piece now?
10.
10? So a 10-piece every hour, like, every 10-piece you lose an hour? Could you do, how many 10-pieces could you eat? Because I probably, I could easily eat 100 nuggets, I would think.
Yes.
But we say that, and then you get to, like, nugget 30, and you're all right, I can't do this anymore. Our friend Jimmy Fassler sent me a text this morning. He had a walk in the parade in Shawnee with a sign that says, I suck at fantasy football.
Oh, that's great. It's a great punishment.
Somebody says, Drew lost a bet to Cody and Golden. His punishment is 24 hours in a McDonald's. Has he done that yet?
Oh, really? I didn't hear about that.
Is McDonald's even open 24 hours? Can you even sit down in a McDonald's anymore? It's run by robots, and there's no seats.
I do remember them discussing this because they were talking about finding a McDonald's that's still open 24 hours.
Somebody says their that's true. Yeah. Somebody says their fantasy punishment was to make the loser of the league take the ACT and post a score. I'd be like, cool, you do it. Let's see, you're 16. What's your talent? You know? Bean burrito, no onion, add creamy jalapeno sauce, greatest drunk burrito combo. Try it, Dusty. We'll do that.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah, we get paid Thursday. I'll DoorDash that Friday night. I probably won't. Fantasy punishment food wise. I'm trying to think of other fast food restaurants.
Like, could you do like Arby's 5 for $5.55 in college was easy?
Yeah, that was awesome. Always got three beef and cheddars, a mozzarella stick, and a curly fry.
So if we were gonna do 5 roast beef sandwich, for every 5 roast beefs you eat, you get an hour off. That seems like a lot of beef to eat.
Yeah, I think I'm in there maybe
for an hour.
24
hours. Yeah.
Yo, Dusty, the new Taco Bell chicken nuggets are fire. Micah in Denver.
You know, somebody else had said to me, do not sleep on these things. Apparently, they're supposed to be pretty good.
Whew. I don't know. I have to try it. Might have to try it. A lot of people said the waffle or the White Castle sliders would be an easy bet to do because you could
but how many of those?
I don't know. Zero. I've had one my entire life. Go do something nice for somebody, people. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It is Simply Cool to Care, Kansas City. Stay kind. Stay safe. Stay warm. Cody, Golden, Drew coming up from 10 to 2. And then it's Mac and Drew from 7 to 9.